Hello and welcome to Just Markets Podcast 365. My name is Shay and today is May 3rd, 2019. Happy Friday, everyone, and hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful week. I just wanted to talk about a few things today. We had a really strong jobs number come out today, and of course, we'll get into that more in detail and tell you what's what there. We'll look under the hood there, and we'll absolutely talk about the ISM non-manufacturing data, which was a disappointment a little bit, and you know, and kind of talk about that a little bit more in detail. And then we'll also get into the market reaction, give you guys an update on my technical analysis and what we're seeing in the market as far as volume on the upside and the downside and all those things. So yeah, we'll go through all that today. You know, the Dow right now is about 1210 here on the West Coast, and the Dow is up about almost 80 basis points or 0.8%. The S&P is up about 90 basis points or 0.9%. The NASDAQ is up 1.4%. It's really, really roaring today based on all the economic data that came out today. And then, of course, we have the 10-year Treasury that is trading at about 2.52% yield. And that is probably just pricing in a better than expected jobs numbers, which means that, you know, inflation may not be declining, and that's what you're seeing at reprice. And crude oil is trading at about $61 or about $62 here, and it closed at around 11:30. So that is a settled price number here. So what we're seeing is that a really strong reaction from the markets, and we'll get more into that, and I'll tell you what you should be thinking about and how you should look at this and how the market is looking at it. Also, towards the end of this episode, I'm going to be talking about a really important economic indicator that had a huge bounce in the first quarter that came out yesterday. And definitely listen to the end because you'll want to know what the number was and why is it important. Now, let's talk about the employment report that was released today by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The non-farm payroll employment increased by 263,000 in April, and the unemployment rate dropped to 3.6%. So the initial estimates were somewhere around 200,000, 223,000 for the non-farm payroll employment number, and it came in at 263,000. So much better than expected. Big surprise. That's why you're seeing that market reaction picked up this top line number. And then you have the unemployment rate, which declined by 3.6%. The average economist felt that it was going to be around 3.7, and it came at 3.6, and it was 3.8 last month in March. So both areas, it has done really, really well. Most of the gains came in the professional and business services, then construction, healthcare, and then social assistance. And we'll get more into that here in just a minute. Also in April, the average hourly earnings for all employees on private non-farm payroll rose by 6 cents to $27.77. So this number has increased at an annual rate of about 3.2%. So let's talk about where we saw most of the job gains. So in financials, reported a 12,000 increase in jobs. Landscaping increased by 20,000. Healthcare, by far the most, increased by 53,000. And you had the food services that increased by 25,000. Then you had social services that increased by 26,000. And then you also had the services payroll that increased around by 46,000. And construction had a gain of 33,000. Now, there are two areas of major weakness, and that's manufacturing and trade and transportation. Combined, those two sectors only had an increase of 9,000 jobs. Manufacturing had 4,000, and trade and transportation had 5,000. Now, we know that there's a lot of political pundits out there that are talking about how the economy is booming from the GDP number, not better than, way better than expected, jobs number. But, you know, we found a lot of weakness in the GDP data and a lot of one-time things in the GDP data that we talked about on Monday. And now we have employment data where we're seeing that manufacturing and trade and transportation really weak. And you have all these political junkies out there. They're talking about, hey, that the economy is booming. And the underlying data is not showing us that, right? And then you have the labor participation rate that I touted that it increased last month, you know, in March, and we talked about it last month, and that number actually is now back down to 62.8. Now, I know this number can be pretty up and down and volatile, but the fact is it made a major move on downward, right? It's not the lowest it's been, but it's definitely in the middle of it, and to me, that is not a good sign for labor participation. So when you're looking at this data point, this employment report, you definitely have to look at where there's weakness. And as investors, we have to look at manufacturing and trade and transportation is where we're seeing majority of the weakness. Now, construction, I would say, is probably a good sign. We're seeing construction increase, jobs there increase, which is very, very good. You know, healthcare has been a constant. It seems like every employment report you're seeing, healthcare is really helping with this economic growth so far, and really supporting the GDP numbers and really supporting the jobs numbers. Otherwise, it could be a major issue. But we're not seeing any investment there. We're not seeing, you know, that is purely because you have a lot of the population, a lot of the baby boomers that are now, you know, spending a lot of money on healthcare, and the fact that the mandate by the Affordable Care Act is really, really pushing a lot of individuals to spend money on the healthcare, and that's really driving consumption here. So now let's talk about the unemployment rate, and we'll break it down in demographics and then education level. So in February, you had the unemployment rate, the U3 number, at 3.8%. In March, it was again 3.8%. But then in April, last month, it dropped to 3.6%. Now, part of this is because of the participation rate that was at 62.8% in April. So you have a smaller labor force, right? If the participation rate went the other way, this number probably wouldn't have improved as much, right? But the fact is that it did go down a little bit more. So that's why you're seeing a major effect in the unemployment rate, and it was larger than expected. Adult men, unemployment rate is 3.4%. Adult females is 3.1%. You have teenagers that their unemployment rate is about 13%. This number actually went up from 12.8% in March to 13%. Then you have white Americans at 3.1, you have African Americans at 6.7, you have Asians at 2.2, and then you have Hispanic and Latinos at 4.2%. So all of these actually were either the same or improved, and the most improvement happened in Asians. It went from 3.1% in March to 2.2%. So that was a major improvement for the Asian demographics. So now let's break it down by the level of education. So individuals that are over the age of 25 that have a high school diploma, or I'm sorry, that have no high school diploma, their unemployment rate was 5.4%. The high school graduates, like people who have a high school diploma, were at 3.5%. And individuals that had some college, they're at 3.1%. But if you have a bachelor's degree or higher, like a graduate degree, your unemployment rate is 2.1%. So what we're seeing here is that, as always, and this has been a secular trend, the more education you have, the lower the unemployment rate. So that has been the case for a very, very long time. At least the last 12 years since I've been in the business, 14 years, it's been this way. So what we're seeing is that we're seeing the major improvement as the the level of education increases, the unemployment rate also declines. Now, one caveat to this is from March to April, unemployment rate for a bachelor's degree actually went up slightly, and that could be just a transitionary factor where you have a lot of people with a bachelor's degree resigning and going to get a job somewhere else. You know, if you're there in transition or something like that, it could be that also. So, but that's where you're seeing majority of the change or the lowest number, if you will. Now, the most improvement we had in the unemployment rate was actually when it comes to the level of education with people who have less than a high school diploma, and that number went down from 5.9% to 5.4%, almost a half a percent change. So that's where you saw the biggest improvement. So what did the employment report tell us so far? It has told us that the employment picture looks good at overall, but there are some major weaknesses that we have to worry about, like manufacturing and transportation, because those always have been an indicator of how the overall economy is going to do. That they have been a leading indicator. So to me, those are the areas of worry. And that is pretty much in line to what we have been talking about, what we saw in the GDP number and what we saw in a lot of the economic indicators that we have talked about on this podcast over the past month. We saw weakness in manufacturing, and we're seeing the lack of job growth in that area. And even though last 12 months or since the new administration, we've had a lot of growth in manufacturing, but it's just been really weak of late, at least the past 3 months, so 4 months now, right? So we're seeing a lot of weakness there, and that is a sign of worry. But overall, it seems like, you know, unemployment rate for all demographics is getting better, and you have the healthcare sector, construction, and technology really leading the way. And when we talk about professionals and business services, we're talking about a majority the technology companies. So now let's talk about the ISM non-manufacturing data. So in March, the ISM non-manufacturing index was at 56.1. Analysts or economists estimated this number should be coming in around somewhere around 57.5. The number actually came in at 55.5. So it was much worse than expected. And it means that there is some continued weakness in growth, right? So again, this number, if it's above 50, there's expansion. Below 50, there's contraction. At 50, it's neutral, right? So we are, so the ISM non-manufacturing number index shows that the non-manufacturing sector of our economy is expanding, but it continues to expand at a weakening rate. Now, this next economic indicator is, I would say, the most important. So if you had a single feat that allows an economy to grow faster without any inflation, helps exporters in the US, helps households and corporations, you know, enrich themselves, and at the same time, you're able to grow your economy in the most efficient way. And that indicator that you have to follow is productivity. And the reason we haven't been talking about it for the last 10, 11 years is because it's been benign, right? So this number last month actually improved to a huge degree. And we'll talk about where that number went. And it was reported yesterday. So let's talk about what is it, right? So a productivity is really the output of really all the goods and services produced by an employee for every hour they've worked, right? So it serves as a way to measure how well companies are using their employees, both from a time standpoint and a physical capital standpoint, right? So all the resources that are going in and also their time that they're working in hourly wage. So productivity is probably the most important determinant on how the long-term health and prosperity of an economy is going to go. And that's because, right, labor costs are about 70% of most businesses, right? That's the largest cost most businesses have, right? And if they're not using their workers efficiently, that means that they're not being productive, right? Productivity and not being productive. So that's how you get there. So, and if they're not using efficiently, that means you're wasting money. You're wasting money. So a productive workforce is very important for an efficient economy, especially an economy like ours, where we have a population of 340 million people and we're at a $22-23 trillion economy, right? Versus, you know, one of the other economies, other larger economies in the world, like India and China, where they have 1.3 billion and, you know, 1.2 billion people, right? So in billions, right? So how do we as an economy grow with low inflation and do all these things well? That can only happen if our businesses and our companies are using those labor input efficiently. And that's just what productivity really measures. The productivity of American workers increased to 3.6% at an annual rate in January to March. So that's the first quarter of this year when we had the GDP number that came out where it was, and inflation was benign. It was core inflation was really zero, right? So that's when we had, that's when we had this huge productivity gain. Now, this number is, to be exact, we haven't had this number this high since 2010. This number has really averaged around 1.3% annually since the last peak of the last cycle, right? So that's 2007, right? So of the economic cycle. So this number has really been benign for a long, long time. And I'm not saying that now it's up and it's going to do great. This is one number, though, that you want to improve if you want to see continued growth with low inflation. And this number looks great. Very, very good number to think about. And makes me feel good that this number is where it's at. And hopefully it continues and it doesn't go the other way in the next quarter, right? So if this trend does stick, I'd be very, very happy. And you can see this market continue to expand at a very, very good rate. So all this is telling us is that the economy is expanding. It's expanding at a decent rate. It's not expanding anywhere near the 3% that was reported last month, but it's expanding. The risk of a recession is low at the moment from everything that we're seeing, but we're not growing at a high rate that most people are talking about. There are some underlying weaknesses here and there. So that's why I think that the trends of this job growth and everything else will probably come down a little bit. I hope not, but it seems as though that things are going to. We have to be as realistic as possible when we're talking about everything. And I continue to believe that we will have a technical correction here in the next probably week or two at most. And it could start Monday, it could start anytime, but it's not going to happen when I want it to happen. It's going to happen when it feels like it, right? So when investors kind of leave or are not as bullish. And let me give you one simple example that I saw today, and this is the reason why I feel the way I feel about a technical correction. Remember, a technical correction is not because for economic reasons, it's for just sentiment reasons. You know, you have environments when you get overbought and oversold, and we're currently way overbought. It's like you know when you're having dinner and you're full, right? You kind of have to take a break and not eat for a while or wait till your next meal, right? So it's kind of that, right? So basically right now we're in an overbought position, and we are in an environment where when the market is declining, the volume is a lot higher, and when the market goes up, the volume is a lot lower. It means that investors are kind of full of buying, you know, stocks, if you will, right? So for example, last two days, not today, but Wednesday and Thursday, you had two down days. Wednesday you had on the SPY is the spider ETF on the S&P 500. If you look at the volume on the SPY on Wednesday, it traded somewhere on 74 million shares and it was down. And then yesterday it was down again, right? Not as much, right? But it traded about 64 million shares. So you had a 74 million shares traded, and then you had 64 million shares, right? Today, Friday, when the market was up almost 1%, the S&P was up almost 1% today, the amount of shares traded on the SPY were only 54 million. So volume on the upside is a lot lower than the volume on down days. That tells you when sellers are coming in and selling investments and positions in large cap, in this case, they're overwhelming the buyers, right? Overwhelming the buyers, the bulls, if you will. So bears, when they arrive, they're arriving in much larger doses and they are beating up the bulls, right? So that's what's happening the past 2 days. So this is an early indication. This is an indication of a weakness in the sentiment. This has nothing to do with the fundamental economy as a whole. This is just a sentiment issue that the market should correct and needs to correct so we can get higher, right? Now, there are other reasons I'll probably talk about maybe on Sunday or Monday next week that, you know, this could be a much bigger correction, much bigger issue from a technical standpoint. But I'll leave that till my next episode because I'm only way over my lot of time for today. Now, if you guys have any questions for me, please email me at justmarkets365@gmail.com. That's JUSTMARKETS 365@gmail.com, and I will happy to be answering any questions. Many times I'll reply and answer. Other times I will get on this episode on an episode and I'll email you and tell you, hey, I answered your question on my episode, right, on my podcast. So that's it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I know we went through a lot of information, and I'm going to continue to repeat a lot of this information because I don't know about you guys, but when I am talking about detailed numbers and everything else, I have to listen to it and read about it multiple times before I really understand it. So that's what I'm going to continue to do, and that it helps those individuals that just started listening to my podcast, and it really helps those other individuals that have been listening to my podcast for the past month, right? So I'm trying to deal with both sides. So anyways, if you enjoyed it, please follow and subscribe. Please rate me 5 stars on Apple Podcast. It helps other people find us. And hope you have a wonderful weekend. Until next time, take care. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personal investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.